And the topic that I want to talk about today is art as an act of hospitality. I think that there is so much going on in our world that hospitality, Christian hospitality, is it's more important than ever before. So we're going to take a few minutes here today together to look at what art has to do with hospitality, how we use our art to be Christ to the world around us, and how we let Jesus live through us in this way. So I want to start out with a question. That question is, what is hospitality? Is this hospitality? So I'm an American from the South, from South Carolina to be precise, and we love our peaches and we love our baked goods. You put them together and you have magic. So I think this is hospitality. Is this hospitality? Look at the crystal, the settings, the order. Somebody took time. There's presence. You're clearly welcome. So, is this hospitality? What about this? There are entire ministries with training built around church greeters. So, finally, is this hospitality? This is one of my favorite paintings. Here, Caravaggio shows Jesus and only three apostles in this undefined space. Then, like someone with a camera lens, he zooms in so that we're so much closer to the scene. Shockingly, Jesus actually allows or even invites Thomas to stick his finger inside of the wound. Look at how the light catches the flap of skin raised by his finger. This image is about as visceral as it gets. Before Caravaggio, nobody had composed an image with such an intense focus on the wound. All four figures are staring intently at the finger as it penetrates the flesh of Jesus' side. Look at the expressions on their faces. Now we're going to come back to our Doubting Thomas image later, but first I want to talk about another word, symbol. Now the origin of that word is the Greek word symbolon, and originally it was this object called the tessera hospitalitas, a little object about the size of your thumb. It was a tile of welcome. So here's how it worked. When a stranger came to your home, before they crossed the threshold to sit at your table and enjoy hospitality with you, this little tile would be broken in half right where the hand is shaking. One half would be given to the guest. And something like this would be said. From this day forward, you and whomever you share this piece of tile with are welcome in my house. But the two pieces must be fitted together. And that vow could extend up to generations of strangers. If they could fit the piece together, they would be welcome in your home. And that is the origin of what a symbol was. But what I found most powerful about this is that it's not the tile itself, but in the act of breaking that the welcome took place. Now, of course, the word symbol has since taken on a metaphorical richness and continues to take on depths of meanings. And a symbol doesn't mean one thing in one direction, it can mean multiple things in multiple directions. And many layers of can be embedded within the symbol. That's just like art. So as artists, when we create, we want other people to receive what it is that we're offering. Art isn't meant to be experienced in this vacuum. We want to give away ourselves in the making, in the art of the act of the making. And we hope that there's someone else on the receiving end to hold the piece of tile and to fit it together with ours. It's in the breaking, though, in this mystery of the breaking, that the moment of hospitality takes place. And of course, the ultimate symbol is Christ himself. But how? Well, God said, you know what? Something has to be broken. And he was willing to be broken so that we could come to his table. This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. That's the ultimate form of hospitality. First the breaking, then the giving, and then finally the participation or joining. Now, God entered into our story instead of simply demanding that we enter into God's story, right? And perhaps that is what best defines hospitality. When we practice it, we say, I want to be a part of your story more than I hope you'll come be a part of mine. All right, so we've talked about what hospitality is, if it can be defined. And now we're going to talk about creating space. So we've pretty much decided hospitality, it's not about cookies. It's not about greeters. It's about making space for the other. So what are some ways we can think about the importance of making space in a tangible context? Because it's a vague and abstract idea, right? I hear this in interviews all the time. Oh, I'm making space for this. Well, if you think about it, the negative space in a painting is what helps us make sense of what it is that we're seeing. Or the pause in the musical piece is what allows the rhythm to flourish into something meaningful. I want you to check out the way that the word space is described in this hymn by Charles Wesley. Let heaven and earth combine, angels and men agree, to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Now let me comment on that word span. When this was written, the word span referred to the length of the human hand. From the tip of the thumb to the tip of the little finger, this was a span. This is not a large space. And imagine the Godhead contracted to a span. When speaking literally, to create space, you shrink or you remove to allow for the presence of something else. The philosopher David Bentley Hart talks about beauty as an expanse, as an empty space between what is now and what is to come. A space for longing, a space for lament, a space for other emotions and desires. I think that it's often the case, though, that our communities and perhaps especially our churches are not good at holding this space. We really move quickly away from discomfort, from ambiguity, from intense emotions, or from silence. We fear questions that don't seem to have answers. But it's important to remember that Jesus taught with more questions than with answers. He spoke in parables and he instructed in art. Now, the first type of space that artists can create in our communities is an inquisitive space. Understanding beauty and mystery as an expanse between the already and the yet to come. We need to work out the realities and the brokenness between the world as we know it and the joy of the coming kingdom. An artist can hold that space. Another type of space that artists can hold is relational space. The space between the individual and the other. Whether that be human or divine, it becomes an opportunity to cultivate beauty. Now, I believe that when artists are attuned to the culture and personality and individual needs of their communities, that they create work that relays dynamism and relationship. Their work becomes a gift and not an act of self-aggrandizement or egoism. From the very beginning of the church, ministry-minded people have understood the importance of a ministry context. That's why Paul said this to Timothy: "To the weak I become weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some." When we learn to see the world around us, our work communicates more than the fingerprint of the artist. There's an inescapable voice, a presence that comes through us in our art, of course. But even as we're vessels or conduits, we're also unique individuals. We can't escape our uniqueness, nor should we. But it's in the willingness to enter into the act of communion with people that we connect. And this requires an act of submission. You have to let down your guard to actually be in communion. It's an act of vulnerability, of risk, to welcome someone to your table, to set aside space. It's scary. So we've discussed what hospitality is. We've discussed what it means to make space. Now let's talk about the idea of art for the sake of the other. We're going to consider some words from Athanasius. Athanasius, as I'm sure many of you know, was a 4th century bishop known as the father of orthodoxy for his dedication to the doctrine of Christ's divinity. Athanasius was born in the city of Alexandria sometime in the 290s, a city that was culturally vital for the Roman Empire, being a focal point for education and much of the East. It was one of those rare cities that had intellectual leaders from paganism, Hellenistic Judaism, and Christianity. They were all drawn to the city's philosophical schools and the Library of Alexandria. It sounds like an artist haven, actually. So here's a line I recently read from Athanasius that stuck out to me. "The Lord did not come to make a display. He came to heal and to teach suffering men. For one who wanted to make a display, the thing would have just been to appear and dazzle the beholders." Do you know any artists like that? "But for him who came to heal and to teach the way was not merely to dwell here, but to put himself at the disposal of those who needed him, and to be manifested according as they could bear it, not vitiating the value of the divine appearing by exceeding their capacity to receive it." Now that's a very interesting point. Think about those words. Not just to appear and dazzle, to put himself at their disposal, perfectly fitting their capacity, their space, their span to receive. So what that means, I think, is that when artists are guided by the Spirit, when artists view their work as a gift, they're not going to exceed the viewer's capacity or the hearer's capacity or the reader's capacity to receive. This is not art for art's sake. This is art for the sake of the other. We're going to consider one more voice from C.S. Lewis. In his novel, The Great Divorce, The Great Divorce, who's familiar, is a classic Christian allegorical tale about a bus ride from hell to heaven that explores the journey of souls, reflecting on things of choice and repentance and the nature of good and evil. It imagines a theological vision where the gates of hell are locked from the inside, emphasizing that individuals choose their destinies. So the context here is a conversation between the ghost of a painter who has just arrived in the land and one of the solid spirit people. "When you painted on earth," said the solid spirit, "at least in your earlier days, it was because you caught glimpses of heaven in the earthly landscape The success of your painting was that it enabled others to see glimpses too. But here, you having the thing itself, it is from here that the messages came. Why, if you're interested in the country only for the sake of painting it, you'll never learn to see the country. But that's just how a real artist is interested in the country, says the ghost of the painter. No, you're forgetting, said the spirit. That was not how you began. Light itself was your first love. You love to paint only as a means of telling about light. Oh, that's ages ago, said the ghost. One grows out of that. Of course, you haven't seen my work, my later works. One becomes more and more interested in paint for its own sake. One does indeed. I also had to recover from that. It was all a snare. Ink and catgut and paint were necessary down there, but they are also dangerous stimulants. Every poet and musician and artist, but for grace, is drawn away from the love of the thing he tells to love of the telling itself. Down in deep hell, they cannot be interested in God at all, but only in what they say about him. For it doesn't stop at being interested in paint, you know. They sink lower, becoming interested in their own personalities and then in nothing but their own reputations. That's heavy. I think every artist and musician should read that at least once a year. Now, to me, this implies two things. First, that being an artist or musician is a calling. Men and women have been given the gift of seeing the higher countries and to hear the things that others cannot. They then enable others to see and hear by painting and writing and singing and playing music. Most true artists are moved to do so by a desire to capture and share the glimpses of the greater realities. And they not only desire to share what they've already seen or heard, but they also desire to see more clearly. Creating is discovering. But secondly, Lewis implies that it is very easy to distort the glimpses, to begin sharing not true realities, but perverted pictures of what paradise looks like. Perhaps this is just because humanity is so short-sighted. Or maybe it's because the artist loses touch with reality by focusing on the creative process rather than the creation or the creator. The writing process rather than the subject. Or the paint rather than the painting, the musical notes rather than the song. We've talked about symbol. We've talked about making space. We've talked about art for the sake of others. Now we're going to talk about invitation, but I'm going to return to Lewis one more time. Kindred spirits. Lewis said, "My eyes are not enough for me. I will see through those of others. I am never more myself than when I do." Now, as I read this, I think of Caravaggio's Doubting Thomas. Let's look again. I see him anew. I see Christ. I see his broken flesh contracting around the span of Thomas's dirty fingers as they fill up the emptiness of Christ's wounds. Caravaggio humanizes Thomas for us. The wrinkled brows of the three disciples show their amazement, which perhaps is not just the fact that this flesh is as real as theirs, but that Jesus is actually letting this be done to him. The expression on his face with his lips parted suggests that the wound is tender. It images a breaking open and then reconnecting. So when I see this, I see hospitality. I see a tessera hospitalitis, two tiles restored and fitted together. beating pulse on beating pulse. So I think that the lesson of the Doubting Thomas story that we have all grown to know is not just that we should believe in the resurrection without needing to see the proof or touch for ourselves. It's that Jesus invites us to see him and to touch him. He invites us to encounter his broken, wounded, and glorified body. And he welcomes us to feast at his table. So when we exercise hospitality in our art, we create space for the triune God to enter in. And we create space for others to experience our triune God. So I want to finish with a song, and then we're going to have some time to go back for more breakthroughs. Here are the lyrics. There's a lot of contrast. There's a lot of symbol, a lot of connection, a lot of hospitality. It's a reminder that God became a span for us to meet us where we are and to draw us into beauty.